Thank you, John. A very, very warm welcome to you all, especially if you've driven a distance. We're giving out bravery badges at the end of the service for those people who've come from the frozen south. But thank you for making the effort to join us. There've been lots of notices on the screen and also on our weekly notes here. I'd like to draw your attention to what sounds like a fantastic trip to Liverpool Cathedral. It's on Monday the 24th of February to view an exhibition. It's a textile exhibition entitled Threads Through the Bible. And it's taken 10 years for this person to create it. The coach will be leaving Prestbury Church at 9:30, arriving home about 5, and the cost is £15. If you're interested, please contact Roger Bolton, and his details are actually in here.
Yeah.
Yes, it sounds wonderful. Yes, I'm quite keen. I'd like to go, I think. Yeah, thank you. In Macclesfield this time, there is a day of prayer at St. Albans Church. That's next Saturday, 8 a.m. until 9 p.m. and it's a vigil for peace and Christian unity. Also to announce the funeral. We heard of the sad death of Brenda Oakley recently. Brenda was a very devoted and dedicated member of Poynton Methodist Church, and her and her husband devoted years and years to the National Children's Home. Her funeral is on the 22nd of January at 2:30. Over to Graham. Thank you very much indeed.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to see so many here. We weren't sure half an hour ago whether it just feels and Mandy, I think, at that point. If we're giving out awards, some of us have come from Derbyshire this morning. It is good to gather together as the Methodist Circuit, the Macclesfield Circuit in this place. It's good to come and worship at the beginning of this year together as we are in the season of covenant, as we're all about asking ourselves what it is to be God's people, what it is to respond to the call of God on us as individuals and as the church. So it's good that we gather together. It is also good to have four of our Cliff Year here. Cliff Year is a project that we run at Cliff College, a gap year program, and the four, Letitia, Jacob, Ben, and Andrew, will lead us through the service. If you want to know what the Cliff Year is, then talk to them later and ask them, and they'll tell you something about it, I guess. Hopefully good things, nice things. And more than that, if you know any teenagers between 18 and 25, so not just teenagers, who you think this would be a good thing, then talk to us. It's an opportunity to explore what God might be doing and saying. But we're here to worship God. We're here to share together. So let's take a moment of quiet and prepare our hearts and our minds.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So let's just do just that as we stand if we're able to sing our first hymn today, Be Thou My Vision.
Save thou heart, be
thou my wisdom, be thou my true word, be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou my great Father, thy child let me be. Be thou in me dwelling, and I walk with thee. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Riches I need not, nor earth's empty praise. Be thou mine inheritance, now and always. Be thou and thou only, the first in my heart. Sovereign of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, thou heaven's bright star, oh, grant me its joys after victory.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for bringing us all here safely this morning to hear your word. We appreciate and receive your care and protection over each of us. Thank you for your love, which never fails. God, you are worthy of all honour and all praise. And each time spent in this place is an opportunity for us to grow closer to you and to learn more about you. We commit our time together to you and ask that you heal and restore us as we dive into your word freely and wholeheartedly. We want to know more of you, God. So today we say yes to what you want to show us through the message, through scripture, or through worship. We pray that our eyes are open and our ears are ready to receive your truth. Amen. So I'm going to welcome up Letitia now to lead us in our next little part.
Hey, so I originally planned this for children, but there's none here. So I've got a bunch of stuff to show you, and I wanted to ask you what you think is the most important. So we have a little fidget toy, some post-it notes, a pen, and a Bible. What do you think is the most important to you personally? Okay, yeah, cool. Great. So there's a story in the Bible called Martha and Mary, and Jesus essentially goes to them, and Martha is stressing out and trying to clean the house, and Mary just sits in front of Jesus and listens to what he has to say. And sometimes we're all a bit like Martha, right? We get a bit caught up in cleaning and doing other things and not focusing on Jesus. But Jesus wants us to be more like Mary and just to listen to him and spend time with him and be more like him. So how can we be a bit more like Mary in our day-to-day lives? Like reading the Bible, listening to worship music, spending time with a friend, praying, talking to others. Like, all of that is what was important to Jesus, because he did that all throughout the Bible, and we should do that as well. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us, and thank you that we can spend more time with you without any persecution. Lord, help us focus on what's important, and help us to spend more time with you and show others how to love you, and show us how to love others like you love us. In your name, amen.
Amen.
The next hymn is I Am a New Creation, and then after that, Faith or One, and we're going to sing both songs through twice.
My home.
there's one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope.
Now going to hear our reading from Psalm 27 and Luke 3, 15 to 17 and 21 to 22.
And this is the reading from Psalm 27, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Amen.
Luke chapter 3, reading from verse 15 to 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Amen.
Thank you. I'm now going to welcome up Ben, who is going to share his testimony with us.
Hello. Please forgive me if you might not be able to fully understand some things I say. I am from the South. I thought I'd come here and share a brief sum up of my testimony, how I came to faith and why my faith is so important to me. I was born and raised in a very Christian family. Both my parents are Christian, or my siblings are Christian. Even most of my extended family and most of my friends are Christian. So I grew up in a very Christian environment, but it wasn't a very strict Christian environment. There was no like obligation to go to church every week. There was, as a kid, we were just sort of sent off to Sunday school every week just to sort of get us out of the sermon to learn, and we didn't even say grace before every tea time. But so I wasn't really a proper Christian growing up. All I knew was, you know, there was one God who loves us, and then, you know, there was Christmas, Jesus' birth, Easter, Jesus' death, and then a couple of the classic Bible stories, some of Jesus' parables, Daniel and the Lion's Den, stuff like that. I just sort of took everything for granted in my life. And so I didn't really sort of have that proper, genuine belief, a genuine faith. At the back of my church, there is a big bookshelf. And on the bookshelf, there's a lot of Bibles there, along with various booklets and leaflets. And one Sunday, I got fairly bored, went to the back, and picked up a little leaflet titled "Knowing God." And I read this little leaflet through and through, over and over and over again. And it was a little leaflet, fairly simplistic in style, yet so well worded and easy to understand. And it taught me exactly who God is and why he did what he did. And it just made me really understand. And the moment that I really understood it, I got this feeling of happiness and of peace just overwhelmed me. And so immediately I went and told all my friends and my family, and told it to the masses. And I was told by someone at church that whenever somebody converts, whenever somebody is saved, all the angels up in heaven have a good party, God himself is very overwhelmed with happiness. Over the years in my life, many people have been very good at helping me in my faith. And I finally got that belief and that real faith. My faith is very important. I don't think I could quite make it without the faith I have in Jesus Christ. That was a fairly abrupt ending, but that's my brief testimony. Just going to sing another hymn, All I Once Held Dear.
Ben, that's good. I always like an abrupt ending, it's fine, it's good.
Well, I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveals, and walls to hold. All I once thought gained, I had counted lost, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. Oh, my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you. It's to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, or surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you,
It's very good this morning to have some of our Cliff here to come and share. I'm particularly grateful to Letitia and Ben for sharing with us, which means I don't have to preach at all. However, I am still going to. You don't get out of it that easily. A waste of an opportunity. So let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once upon a time, there were two wealthy brothers, and they had a competition every Christmas to buy the most wonderful gift that they could for their mum. And it got more extravagant and more extravagant as the years went by. One year, one of the brothers found this thing he thought was wonderful, and he knew it was going to be the best. It would win this competition. And it was called a Zerka bird. The Zerka bird was no ordinary bird. It cost incredible amount of money. but it could recite beautiful poetry. It could sing opera. It could tell jokes. It was the most beautiful bird you could ever imagine. And he thought, this is it, I've won this contest. So he paid the many, many thousands to have it flown from the Amazon, to have it gift-wrapped, I guess in a cage, not just wrapped, to have it gift-wrapped and sent to his mum for Christmas Day. And Christmas Day, and he got very excited. He was waiting for this to happen. He left it a bit of time for her to get up and receive it, for her to open it, to hear the opera, to hear the poetry, to hear the jokes, to have her Christmas dinner and all of that. And then he rang her up and said, oh, Mum, what did you think of the Zerka bird? She said, oh, son, it was delicious. Sometimes when we get post-Christmas, we start to ask, what do we do with all the gifts that we've been given? Sometimes you think, I don't know what to do with that. Where am I going to put that? It goes in the loft, it goes in the garage, it goes to a charity shop, or you wrap it up and give it to someone else. But what do you do with the gift that God has given you? What do you do with all that God has blessed you with? God has given us life. God has given us an incredible world. God has blessed us in ways that we can barely imagine. What do we do with that gift? As we live our lives in this world, what do we do with God's gifts? What is it that we are all about? What is it that's really important to us? What is your priority at this point? In the psalm that we heard earlier, David has this dream. He has a longing. There was one thing in his life at that point that he longed for more than anything else: to spend all his days in the company of the Lord. One thing I ask, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. More than anything in this world or the next, David wants to spend every moment that he can in the presence of God, to delight in God. So as we find ourselves at the start of a new year, a year which will have significant changes for the churches in our circuit, as we find ourselves in this season of covenant, as we ask, what is it to be God's people at this moment in history and in this part of the world? What is it that we want? Or rather, what is it that we need to be God's people in the world? Perhaps it's what David says. Maybe that's what we need too. One thing I ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. Look at the psalm for a minute. David says he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord, but look how he talks about the house of the Lord. He says in verse 4, it's a house. In verse 4 again, it's a temple. In verse 5, it's a dwelling and a tent. In verse 6, it's high upon a rock. The house of the Lord takes many shapes. It is not only a church building. So what is it that brings us into the presence of God that we long to live in? What is it that takes us to that place? Firstly, from David, I think it is about seeing the beauty of the Lord. When David speaks about gazing on the beauty of the Lord, it's the Hebrew word banoam, which is more than a skin-deep beauty. It's about delight. It's about splendor. It's about grace. I want to be so close in the presence of the Lord, says David, that I can sense God, that I can sense his love, that I can feel his compassion, that I can know his character, so that in his presence I can experience all the gifts and the beauty that God offers to his people, so that I can feel and know who God is. And it's not about gazing with the eyes. It's about gazing with his heart, with his whole being. It's about experiencing the graciousness of the Lord at every moment of life. So how do we do it? How do we dwell in that house of the Lord so we can gaze on the beauty? The house of the Lord, it might take many shapes for us. It might be in this place. It might be another building that we worship in. It might be at home. It might be as we listen to music. It might be as we read scripture. It might be as we pray. It might be as we walk in the beauty of God's world. It might be as we gaze even at the moment and see the incredible beauty of all that is around us. It might be through silence. It might be in countless places. The house of the Lord takes many shapes. But our calling is to find the place where we can be with God, where we can encounter God, where we can rest in the presence of God and know God's love. When I was a minister in Yorkshire, I decided it'd be a good idea to go and do some historical trips to make myself a bit more cultured. And I went to some of the abbeys, them Cistercian abbeys, you know the kind of things. Does anyone know what the Cistercians were? Dreadful. The white-robed monks, anyway. Anyway, there's ruined abbeys in Yorkshire. And I went to Kirkstall, and I went to Fountains, and I went to Ravo, and I went to Byland Abbey. I have this memory of sitting in Byland Abbey with no one around because it's in the middle of nowhere, in the ruins of this incredible monastery, and feeling the presence of God. No one around, no one near, no noise apart from a little stream running. And yet God was in that space as I was there. Where is it for you? Where are the places that you encounter God? Where are the places that you feel the presence of God, the voice of God? Where are those places for you? Letitia reminded us that we're often so busy doing stuff that we're not able to stop and be in God's presence. We need to make that space. We need to find that time. We need to find those places and rest in God's presence to know the beauty of all that God has, the beauty of the Lord that might reshape us in God's image. So seek the beauty of the Lord and then seek the wisdom of the Lord. In the NIV, it says David wants to seek God, to seek him in his temple. Other translations might say to inquire of God in his temple. The Hebrew, now this is a harder one to pronounce, so bear with me, ubalakur, means to seek an answer. So David goes before the Lord to seek an answer, or perhaps a better translation is to seek the wisdom of God. His desire is to be in God's house, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek the wisdom of the Lord. He longs to learn the Lord's ways. He longs to learn the Lord's will. He longs to share the wisdom of God. The story is told about Henry Ford, who was the genius behind the Ford Motor Company. And when he was making his factory, he needed to get the most renowned engineer to make the generators, the electrical generators. And he got a guy called Charlie Steinmetz to do it. And he made these things, and they were wonderful, and they ran the company beautifully until they suddenly stopped. And none of the engineers at the factory could sort them out. So he had to call back the one who'd made them. So Charlie came and he tinkered for a bit, and within a few minutes the generators were up and running and everything was fine. And then he sent a bill to Henry Ford for $10,000. Henry Ford was horrified by this. He said, "What on earth is this all about?" And he said, "It's for two things. For tinkering with the generators, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. There are times when we need the wisdom of the Creator, when the only one who knows how to sort things out is the one who made it, the one who made us. David says his longing is to sit at the feet of the Lord, to seek his wisdom, to seek all that God has, to seek the wisdom of the Creator of all things. And we're invited into that too. We're invited to sit at the feet of God and receive his wisdom and his grace. That wisdom isn't about quick answers and easy fixes. It isn't about getting what we want or even what we desire. It's not about fitting in with the way that we see the world or way we understand it. It's about being recreated in the image of God. It's about being refashioned in God's image as we live in this world. It's about seeing with God's eyes, from God's perspective, about being in the house of God and seeing from that place all that God asks of us. It's about seeing the way of love, of life. It might be challenging, it might be painful, it might be costly, but that's part of what it is to be followers of Christ in this world. One thing I ask, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David wanted to seek the beauty of the Lord. He wanted to seek the wisdom of the Lord because then he would know the protection of the Lord. He will keep me safe in his dwelling. I was once minister of a church in Yorkshire that had a leak in the roof. You can't imagine a leak in a roof of a church, can you? No one could find where it came from. The property steward couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. Although, in fairness, I only looked from the bottom of the ladder. I wasn't going up there. The roofer couldn't find it. No one could find where this leak came from. Because the problem was it only leaked when it was raining. So we had to wait until it rained till we could see where the leak was. The minute it rained, everybody had to leg it into the church and see where this water was coming from. We know the best time to fix a leaking roof is when it's dry, so that when the downpour comes, you're safe and secure and you're dry. We know that makes sense. But quite often, we do the opposite in our spiritual life. We don't bother to try and secure our home with God until the deluge comes, until the rain comes, until the world feels like it's fallen apart, and then we wonder what to do. God invites us to know his presence in all things at all times, in the good times of our lives and in the bad times. God invites us to know him in all of this, so that whatever comes, we know our dwelling is secure in God. And that isn't to say somehow that God will keep all pain and suffering away from us, or that somehow all the things that threaten to hurt us will be taken away. What it's about is living in the knowledge and the presence of God, so that when those hard times comes, we know that God is with us. We know the compassion and presence of the Lord with whom we dwell will comfort us. When temptation comes, we know the strength of the Lord with whom we dwell is there to help us defeat it. When tragedy comes, we know the hope of the Lord with whom we dwell is there to hold us. David wants to dwell in the presence of the Lord because that's where the fullness of God's truth and grace and love is known, and where God's life can be experienced in all the glory that it is for us. That sounds wonderful, but sometimes we're able to make quite a mess of the community that we're called to be. I may have told you this before. Another church I was minister of, we decided to have services in the afternoon, and I went into the vestry with Lawrence, and Lawrence and I chatted for about 10 minutes, and the service started 5 minutes into that, and we were still going, so Lawrence's wife had to come in and say, "Lawrence, it's time to get on with the service," and he said, "We should pray, shouldn't we?" His prayer has stuck with me all these years. He said, "Oh Lord, we pray for all those who are sick of our congregation." He meant who were unwell. I interpret it, those who were sick of us, who'd had enough of this church, who were fed up of us, all who were sick to death of the church. In another church, I remember where somebody and I had fallen out. I think I'd changed the flower rota or something horrendous like that. And she managed, whilst sharing the grace, to give me a dirty look. So it's, you know, one that's a bit camper than I thought, you know, proper dirty look in the middle of the grace, because she was furious that we'd changed the flower rota. We fall out about all kinds of things in the church. We miss what God is asking of us in the church. We fail to be the kind of community that God asks us to be because sometimes our priorities are wrong and we've missed what God says to us. We make a mess of being God's people. We make a mess of the relationships. We make a mess of the call to shine with God's light in the world. We're called to follow the way of life of God together, to model for the world a way of life that is about love that unites us, love that transforms, love that holds us and leads us and changes the world around us. We only do that by dwelling with God in all things, so that whatever comes, we're able to be those kind of people. We're able to be that kind of community by dwelling in the house of the Lord. "One thing I ask," says David, "this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." How? Seek the beauty of the Lord. Seek the wisdom of the Lord. Know the protection of the Lord. At the start of a new year, as we hear words of covenant in our churches, as we seek God's way. Perhaps that's not a bad place for us to start either. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us to be your people. You call us your children. You call us beloved. We pray that we would know that in the year to come. We would know the depth of your grace and love that is for us. We pray that you would renew us, that you would transform us, that we might shine with your light as we live our lives in the world, as we live the life of your church, that we might be renewed and the world might be renewed in grace and hope and love. Amen. We'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing together, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said, what can be sung, as a praise of your name, for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? To so faithful a friend, to so loving a king. Savior, what can be said, what can be sung, as a praise of your name, for the things you have done? My words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Let's pray. In faith, let us pray to God our Father. In the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. God in love, we pray for the life of the church throughout the world. May every congregation be a community of love, and every Christian a witness to your grace. Renew all who worship in this place, that we may be a living, that we may live in fellowship in the Spirit and serve our neighborhood. God of mercy, we pray for the life of the world, for those who exercise power. Show us how to live as members of human family, to reject the ways of war, to bear each other's burdens and the work together for the justice and peace. God of compassion, we pray for those who are ill or anxious at home or in hospital. We pray for those whose lives are filled with fear and despair. Draw near with your saving love and bring healing and hope. God of glory, we rejoice in the communion of saints. We remember all who have faithfully lived and all who have died in Christian hope. Especially, help us to follow their example and bring us with them into the fulfillment of eternal joy. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who have loved you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we love you above all things, may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're now going to sing our final hymn, In Christ Alone. Thank you.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. This solid ground, bent through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, if not love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came.
As the sermon or the service comes to a close, if you would like to turn to the person next to you and say the grace. May
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
and the love of God
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Have a great rest of your day.